became glaringly obvious that all the students gathered on top of Alpha Hill for movie night had their screens lighting up their faces and were watching the live stream with rapt attention. He pushed into the garden shed and slammed the door behind him, turning on his phone's flashlight and dropping it onto one of the workbenches.
"What's got your panties in a twist?"
Oscar asked, sitting on the bench and examining his nails.
"I was comfortable where I was,"
Killian sulked, crossing his arms. Oscar smirked.
"You know someone has already stolen her, right?
Probably Kian.
Maybe even Gabe, just to fuck with Theo."
Killian itched to check the live broadcast to see if it was true, but forced his arms to wind back in an exaggerated stretch instead.
"Are we gonna make out or what?"
Oscar laughed, his eyes glittering darkly.
"Nice deflection. How about I describe what it was like to make out with the person you actually want to get your hands on?
When did you make out with Kian?
When did you get so funny?"
Oscar's smile suddenly disappeared, and all the glitter twinkled right out of his stare, rendering it blacker than black.
"I don't want to hand out massages, so here it is, Killy."
She tasted exactly like how I knew she would. Like fear and sweat and fistfuls of crushed cherries leaking all over her skin. Her little whimpers and moans and the way she pressed against my dick.
"Yep, I'm out. This was great. Let's never do it again."
Killian stormed out of the shed, ignoring the cameraman checking the timer on his phone as he rushed back to the stage.
The worst part was, Oscar wasn't lying. That was what Isabel tasted like, at least partly. But Oscar hadn't said a thing about the rich, heady syrup scent she gave off, and how her skin tasted like that when she clenched her thighs together and sucked on her lip like she was trying to savor someone else's taste.
Killian found himself clinging on to that fact, but then quickly grew irritated that Oscar had managed to turn it into some sort of fucked-up competition in his head. Isabel didn't belong to any of them, and she never would. It was impossible. There was no competition. Whether Oscar tasted her or whether Killian did, she would always be unattainable. More so now than ever, because Killian's ex was the one who helped to cut her open and defile their bond.
Chapter 5. 7 minutes in hell.
Theodore wasn't expecting much, but he definitely expected longer than Killian lasted, and he sighed as he got up to take his turn next. Isabel stole his seat as soon as he stood, as though she needed to give Killian a break, and he tried to tamp down on the rush of satisfaction it gave him. Not because Killian would be disappointed. He couldn't begrudge Killian needing physical contact all the time. That was just who he was, even if Theodore found it endlessly infuriating to have his bergamot and bark scent saturating Isabel. It was more to do with the illogical urge to claim and possess. Isabel belonged in his chair because she belonged to him.
"Stop. Fucking hell. Just stop."
He stalked off and burst into the garden shed, ready for a fight. Oscar chuckled as he closed the door behind him, throwing them into darkness.
"You make it too easy, Theo."
Oscar turned on his phone's flashlight, setting it beside his thigh. He was sitting on one of the workbenches, looking like he had already won the game.
"Don't know what you're talking about."
Theodore plastered on a wide smile.
"You didn't try to make out with Killian, did you? He practically ran back." "If I had, he'd be running for a cold shower."
"Why do you ask?"
"Jealous I might have seduced both of your best friends."
"You didn't seduce Isabel. The chains hypnotized her."
Oscar didn't feel like antagonizing Theodore. The younger Alpha was just too amenable. He kept a cool head with Oscar, seconds away from stealing two of his fingers, and hadn't even let out a squeak when Oscar had broken them. Or tried to come after him. Theodore didn't sulk the next day or try to take the issue to Kaelin or Mikkel. He continued, like nothing had happened,
smiling and joking around like the infuriatingly good-natured person he was. Oscar sighed, pinching his nose. This was why he preferred Moses. The moody fuck was always up for a fight. "Leave now," he expelled on a short breath, "and I won't unleash chaos the second she steps through that door." "Deal." Theodore spun on his heel and yanked the door open, disappearing immediately. Oscar leaned back, his head thumping against the wall, his fingers tapping agitatedly against his thigh. He would have just left and refused to play the game at all, but movie night was non-negotiable. Kaelin had made that clear. He wanted them to get them in front of a camera. It was time they started stepping things up so that the fans had them firmly in their thoughts over the break. Isabel walked into the shed, closing the door behind her and leaning back against it with her arms folded tightly across her chest, her eyes skirting all around him but refusing to actually look at him.
"What did you do to the others?"
she asked, finally lifting her gaze to his. He licked his lips, shifting forward to notch his forearms against his thighs. "I sat here and didn't move a muscle. Come closer."
"No."
"Why not?" He smirked at her. "I just want to see your chain." She took deliberately slow steps toward him, probably trying to drag out the 3 minutes.
"Why is everyone so scared of you, Sato?"
"Because they know what's good for them." He coiled forward when she was close enough, catching the neckline of her dress and dragging her between his legs until she was pressed up against the bench, dirtying the pale fabric that drifted against her skin like the lightest, softest tease. Her rich girl clothes did his head in. He hated that he could sell one of her dresses and fill up his sister's account at the commissary for the next 3 months, and he hated how beautiful she looked draped in small fortunes. He still remembered the slide of her silky, rich girl pajamas beneath his rough hands. He quickly released her, gripping the edge of the bench to control the urge to rip and tear until she was just as poor and filthy as he was. "Show it to me." He tried to frame it as a suggestion, but it rolled off his tongue as a husky command, and his gut tightened at the way her hands lifted instinctively, tugging down her neckline as much as she could, revealing only the top of the chain.
"What did Nico tell you?"
she asked quietly. He wanted to touch the chain. It was his chain, after all. But he couldn't trust himself. The Sigma was slowly driving him insane, and he had yet to figure out if he had been obsessed with her since his first taste on the rooftop of the chapel, or if he was secretly wishing he had never saved her in the first place. "He said it happened suddenly," he grunted, staring at the tiny gold links embedded smoothly into her skin, looking like they had always been a part of her. "It made its way to your chest, hooking into your skin, and then healed you. You're lucky the bond didn't complete."
"I've been thinking about that," she whispered. "Maybe it doesn't count because it's a soul artifact. I mean, Teek said the bond can't force me, and if an artifact marks me and completes the bond for me, well, that's forcing."
She nibbled on her lip, her mind drifting away. It was only a moment when her attention wasn't on him, but it was enough to snap his control, to draw his hands from the bench. Except she wasn't there anymore. She had disappeared and reappeared against the shed door, her arms folded tightly across her chest, her face painted in confusion, her breath a rasp through her pink lips.
Isabel gasped as a pinprick of heat dug into her chest. Sato was already off the bench, already standing before her, his brows heavy with confusion.
"Did you just teleport?"
"I don't know. It didn't feel like a teleport." She tugged down the top of her dress again, staring at the chain, or more specifically, at the tiny little gemstone that had materialized half an inch from the top of the chain. It was yellowed amber, a light, leering gold, that reminded her of the winking eye of a prowling beast.
What does that mean?
Sato's voice was quiet and rough, spilling over her temple as he leaned over her, staring down her dress.
I don't know, she muttered distractedly, trying to figure out what had just happened. Everything just blurred, like time turned backwards and then I was back here again.
She spread her arms, looking at the door. Sato reached past her, yanking the door open and calling for the cameraman who stood nearby.
How much time is left?
The confused reply drifted over.
I mean, she just walked in there. I only just started the timer.
Sato closed the door, cutting off the man's response. He drew her away from the door before releasing her and sucking in a sharp breath, his eyes drifting back to the front of her dress.
Kaelin,
he breathed.
That's Kaelin's power.
Isabel blanched. What?
It's a side effect. You're borrowing power. Fuck! You could get Theo's, or Moses's, or mine, or...
I knew you had an illegal ability.
What is it?
It was easier to cling to facts than to let the panic sink in. She could go feral. His attention snapped to her face, his expression darkening.
You want something from me, Isabel?
His hand landed on her neck suddenly, his thumb stroking up the column of her throat.
Give me something first.
His touch reminded her of when he had gripped her neck while thrusting his tongue viciously into her mouth. And then you'll tell me? She couldn't help swallowing. He felt it. His lips twitched, his grip tightening slightly.
If it's worth it.
I don't have any secrets.
Well, at least you're getting better at lying.
His grin curved a little further, his canines catching on his bottom lip like he was trying to bite it back.
Let's start with what else happened with Nico.
What are you talking about?
You wanted to know what he said. That means there was more he could have said.
She considered him, realizing she was leaning into his hold. But Sato had already offered to surrogate for her, so at least he wouldn't be insulted by her body's reaction to him. I think I learned my lesson spilling secrets, she finally said. He was already shaking his head.
That's not how it works. Secrets suffocate and die in Dorm A. Spilling them to outsiders is what will get you killed.
Fine, she shrugged. But only because you obviously know all about it. Whatever happened to you in the hotel, it happened to Nico in the bathroom when the chain dug into my skin. Sato grew very still, his voice lowering to a low, grating timbre.
Nico surged. What did he do?
Nothing, really. She looked down, busying herself by trying to brush off the line of dust along the front of her dress. Just got really still and licked, the chain.
Have you showered?
He asked, his tone suddenly neutral. No. She pulled her head back a little, trying to read his expression.
I don't want his fucking saliva on your skin.
His casual tone broke, a growl riding his words.
I'll tell you what my ability is if you let me erase it.
Why? She was shivering, goosebumps popping up all over her skin at the feel of his influence pushing through her. His oleander scent was smoking and burning, his emotion a slow crawl of poisonous mist, seeping possessive fury into her pores until she was wearing him like a cloak.
Because either you let me erase him, or I go back to the stage and cut out his tongue on live television.
Sato whispered, in his broken, husky voice, his eyes pools of soft darkness. She swallowed, but it was painful, her throat threatening to close up in panic. That's not funny, Sato.
Isabel,
he breathed, leaning down until his face was an inch from hers.
I'm not joking.
You're scaring me. She tried to sidestep him, but he followed, backing her into the workbench.
You're lying, he returned quietly. I know what you smell like when you're scared of me. I even know what you taste like when you're scared of me.
She pushed against his chest, but instead of it shifting him, it shifted her, the world blurring around her again as her back suddenly hit the door. Sato turned, still standing by the workbench, a slow, dangerous smirk lifting the corner of his lips.
You aren't reversing time for me, he said,
wiping a hand over his mouth to erase the emotion on his face, leaving his expression carefully thoughtful.
Only everyone else.
Kaelin, is that powerful? She squeaked, her heartbeat thundering. She was holding that power inside her? Why couldn't she feel it? Other than the warm prickle against her chest where the gemstone had appeared, she couldn't feel anything at all. In fact, even the prickle seemed to have faded. She pulled her neckline down again, realizing that the yellow gemstone was no longer glinting and leering, the color fading to a normal, dulled amber.
Time's up,
Sato suddenly said, appearing before her, his eyes on the gemstone.
No more rewinds. Turn around, Carter.
She obeyed before she could really think it through, and by then it was too late. The second she bared her back to him, he was working on the concealed zipper of her dress, tugging it all the way down to her waist. He spun her around again, the dress still in place, though it hung awkwardly off her shoulders now. He seemed restless all of a sudden, his hands disappearing into his pockets, the material bunching as he formed tight fists and shifted his weight, teetering on some kind of action that he ultimately held himself back from, rocking back as his dark eyes swept over her. What is this? She asked, curling her fists around the thin straps of the dress. Why do you need to do this?
Kian told us you're seeing dead people.
He sucked in a deep breath, his restless gaze finally settling on her face.
And I know you saw my dad. What did he tell you, Did he tell you nice things? Good things?
He told me you would hurt me. He said that other alphas try to hide their animal side, but he taught you to embrace yours. Sato's expression tightened, and his shock pierced her chest before he managed to rein in the emotion.
That's right.
He brushed a finger down her clenched knuckles, almost teasing them into relaxing and releasing her grip on the straps. His influence was confusing, his oleander scent cloying, so sweet and seductive. She had to clear away the fog of it all and remind herself quite forcefully that Sato was dangerous.
I'm not all there,
he tapped against the side of his own head.
I have impulses, and they're difficult to control. You're supposed to belong to me, and my impulse is to claim you in every way possible, even though I don't want you. I refuse to share. I refuse to be told who to mate with, who to belong to. But the impulse...
He gripped her hands, guiding them away, and then he slipped his fingers beneath the straps of her dress and tugged them down over her arms.
You didn't get lucky with me, Carter. I'm your curse now. You're going to have to learn to live with me, the same way I'm learning to live with you.
How exactly are you learning to live with me? She sounded breathless as the top half of her dress fell away, catching at her waist. It revealed her thin, lacy bralette and the entire length of the gold chain embedded into her skin.
I'm compromising, he said,
his eyes still fixed on hers, even as his hand drifted to the chain, the back of his fist pressing against the bottom of it, just below her bra, forcing her to lean more heavily into the door.
I gave you options, didn't I? A peaceful one, and a fun one.
Why bother if this isn't fun?
She hadn't meant to sound snarky, but something in her tone carried a hint of sharpness, and his eyes glittered in a brief flash of humor before dropping from her face to survey the chain. Or her boobs. It was hard to tell.
You're right.
He bent down and grabbed her hips.
I only consider options I like.
He curled his fingers into her bralette as he pressed the flat of his tongue against her skin, right at the bottom of the chain. He lifted, dragging his tongue to the middle of her chest as he yanked his fist back, tearing her bralette so that his journey to her clavicle would be unbroken. He shoved her into the door as he licked all the way up to her neck, pausing at her ear as he pressed the length of his body into hers. He was breathing heavily, and she wasn't breathing at all. She had gripped fistfuls of his jacket sleeves, trying to pull him in tighter, her body soaking up the heat and comfort of him being so deliciously close. Sado wasn't someone she thought she could ever find comfort in, but her half-formed bond didn't care. It was reminding her that she had felt hollow for weeks, starved of all the love and devotion her mates should have been showering her with.
Hold up. What the heck?
You bled.
He growled the words against her throat, his body vibrating.
He tasted your blood, didn't he?
Before she could react, his teeth were grazing the skin of her neck, just below her ear. She froze, her breath a raw scrape.
Don't.
You're mine,
he muttered against her skin.
I can't let you.
Why, baby?
He purred the words in her ear, so un-Sado-like that her eyes fluttered closed and a rush of heat pooled low in her belly, forcing her to clamp her legs together.
Holy crap, he needed to never do that again. I can't belong to any of you,
she squeaked as he pulled back slightly, his alpha rings swollen, his expression tight as his nostrils flared.
There are 10 of you. It'll never work.
He gripped her hips, drawing her tight to his body.
I can smell how much you want me to do something.
It's the bond.
Lie,
he snarled, pushing her back into the door.
Time's almost up, little rabbit. My ability is chaos. I cause it, thrive off it. Can't live without it. Stay if you want a taste. Leave if you're scared.
She surveyed his face, her mind turning over at his admission. Chaos suited him. So did the glint in the darkness of his gaze, telling her that he wanted her to leave. He wanted her scared of him. And suddenly, her connection to Sado made sense. She did want a taste of chaos, but she didn't want to admit it. And he wanted to chase, to hunt, to force it out of her. He couldn't hide the need, even if he tried. It was in every line of his expression. It was in his cloying perfume as it both warned her away and tried to cajole her closer. It was in the dark thump of his emotion against her chest. She had never felt an alpha's need before, because need wasn't usually a negative thing, a dark thing. Until Sado. His need was pushing against her like all the other dark, dirty sentiments people didn't want to keep. They complimented each other in that way. Her breath hitched, her head suddenly dizzy with the realization, but she was no closer to having any idea what to do about it. Sado stirred up something dark and wrong inside her, a kind of morbid curiosity that made her want to cover her eyes and bare her neck, hoping for the best. But that was suicidal.
She looked down at the torn lace still covering her chest. What do I do?
Go without, he suggested, knowing she wasn't talking about the scraps of lace that were barely covering her nipples.
Take the rest off. I couldn't give a fuck about movie night.
She gave him a wry smile, even though it didn't look like he was joking.
You're terrifying.
And you're, quite literally, tempting fate.
He tugged on the frayed edges of her bralette, hastily tying them in the smallest knot before he sucked in a deep breath and took several steps back from her.
How much did that cost?
I don't know. My father's team has been organizing my wardrobe. He wiped a hand over his mouth.
Sleep in my room tonight.
She laughed hollowly. What would be left of me in the morning? His eyes flared, like he thought she meant something different, and his voice was husky when he spoke again.
You've slept with me before. I'm one of your surrogates. You clearly need a surrogate right now.
I haven't slept with you alone, and nobody knows that we shared a bed on tour except Kian.
Bring a friend.
His grin was humorless. Lethal.
We'll call it a sleepover.
Is this some kind of ploy? You guys don't want to leave me in Dorm O with Eve back?
Don't speak the name of the dead girl,
he growled roughly. That's not an answer. He ran a hand along the back of his neck and then shrugged.
Yes, it's a ploy. It was supposed to be Theodore's ploy. I just don't want to break his fingers again. So I'm asking you first.
What? She peered at his face, trying to find even the slightest spark of humor. There was nothing. What the hell?
He had his fingers inside what was mine.
I'm not yours! She advanced on him, but held herself back right before she could shove against his chest.
You smell like mine. You taste like mine. You even sound like mine when you're trying to insist you aren't mine.
He leaned down, planting his cold expression a few inches from hers, his attention on her disheveled clothes.
You definitely look like mine right now.
She quickly pulled her dress back into position, twisting her arm behind her back to yank up her zipper. He watched, cool and calm, and then he brushed past her, pulling open the door.
Glad we sorted that out,
he said, before striding out. She gave a shaky smile to the cameraman, who flashed his phone screen at her enthusiastically, probably trying to show her that she had lasted more than 3 minutes, but she couldn't focus on him as she made her way back to the stage. The second she saw Kilian, she felt her whole body relaxing, and she wanted to hurry right over to him. But then Theodore caught her attention, a question in his stormy eyes as he ran them over her, checking that she was okay. She wondered if she could cuddle up in his lap the way she did with Kilian. Of course not, she immediately chided herself. He might have privately offered to help her ease her bond, but publicly, he had a girlfriend. Even though people probably guessed that he was surrogating for her, it would likely become a problem if they started flaunting it. She tried to give him a reassuring smile as she approached Killian's seat, his hand already held out for her. He pulled her back into his lap, and she fought the urge to melt back into him completely, wary of the camera.
Well?
Moses leaned forward in his chair, his eyes dancing between Sato and her.
That was definitely more than 3 minutes. How'd you do it, Carter?
He just really wanted to talk about his feelings, she said, forcing her expression to appear unbothered. Literally wouldn't shut up. He's a real chatterbox when you get him alone. Most of the alphas laughed, and she shrank back against Kilian, avoiding the heat of Sato's stare. Kilian pulled his phone out in front of them, navigating to a blank message screen.
Okay,
he typed out. She pulled the phone closer to reply. Will you stay with me tonight?
Mm-hmm,
he rumbled against the side of her head, dipping his head in a nod. In Sato's room, she added. He stiffened behind her, a short, astounded laugh falling out of him.
Okay. Hey, you two.
Kian nudged Killian.
Care to share with the class? She's just making arrangements for tonight,
Sato stated calmly and loudly in front of the cameras.
What?
Theodore looked down the line of chairs.
She's getting sick again. She needs a surrogate, but she's worried about rumors.
He flipped his hood up again, leaning back with his arms crossed like that was all the explaining he needed to do. In a way, it was a smart approach, explaining things up front for the cameras.
Yeah.
She cleared her throat nervously. I thought if it was Sato and Killian, the fans would know it's not anything romantic, right?
Because Oscar's idea of romance is...
Theodore cut himself off, smirking before apparently revising his statement.
Not a discussion for polite society.
Sato scoffed quietly. Gabriel sucked in breath through his teeth, waving his phone.
The fans are asking if you have your pick of the alphas to surrogate, because it really looks like you have your pick of the alphas to surrogate.
Isabel didn't have to force her laugh. It tumbled out naturally. No, she said, another chuckle passing her lips. Sato's offer to surrogate was terrifying, and there's no way it was genuine. I asked the alphas because their energy is the most potent. I was rejected by several of them, quite brutally in some cases. I absolutely do not have my pick of alphas. They're just decent guys, and they've offered to help. Just a few of them.
There you have it. Theodore tossed his hands up like the matter was settled. We're a bunch of saints, just as I always suspected. Pity the movie finished already.
He pointed to the credits now rolling on the big screen.
You're going to have to wait until the next movie night for us to prove it.
Chapter 6. Boundaries and Bonds.
Need a moment?
Theodore asked as they walked off the stage. Isabel peered sideways at him, wondering if it was that obvious or if he just knew her that well.
Just feeling a bit overwhelmed, she admitted quietly. The bond was making her feel things. Or maybe the alphas were making her feel things. But she didn't have any room inside her to entertain conflicting emotions. She still had two intimidating deadlines looming on the horizon, and now, to top it all off, the officials had let Eve back into the academy. She had always known they were just pawns to the officials, just puppets in a play to be dangled this way and that way. But seeing such brutal, indisputable evidence of it right in front of her eyes was a whole other thing. Moses had been right the day he told her to ruin Wallace's life. There was no justice for the gifted, and especially no justice for Sigmas. She had to make it herself.
Theodore watched her closely, his face somber, concerned.
They haven't aired any footage of you sleeping in my room or Killian's room.
Not yet, she grumbled.
He nodded, still considering her.
What are you worried about exactly?
Blowback?
She let him pull her off to the side, closer to the lake as people swirled around them, tidying up their picnic blankets and chairs. She hugged her arms around herself, peeking up at him briefly.
What people will say? I think it would make my father happy, but appeasing him is like standing on a razor's edge. He could just as quickly turn around and slap me for being a slut.
Theodore sucked in a deep, shuddering breath, turning his face away for a moment.
Too many cameras,
he murmured.
Come inside.
He marched off, and she hurried to catch up with him, spotting Wallace trying to zigzag through the dwindling crowd to get to him. Wallace started running when she saw that Theodore was heading to the dorm, and Isabel quickly stepped into her path. The tall Beta tried to sidestep her, but she planted herself in the way again.
Wallace, she said. Stop.
The other girl looked down at Isabel, a tight frown pinching her features. She was still beautiful,
but the expression showed a flash of something ugly in her eyes. A vicious spark that Isabel had seen reflected in so many people since she had come to Ironside. At first, it was just her father. But it turned out Bronn Carter wasn't that unique, after all. The Academy was full of Bronns. He was just lucky enough to be an alpha, to be bigger and stronger and more powerful than all the rest of them.
"Seriously, what?" Wallace demanded. "Why are you always getting in the way?"
"Because you're the kind of person who shouldn't be left unsupervised," Isabel shot back. "And you should take that as a warning."
"I've been nice to you, Sigma."
Wallace leaned down, planting her lips right by Isabel's ear.
"Sado made me promise. But Sado made me promise a lot of things, and I'm starting to realize his conditions are a little too constricting. So get the fuck out of my way before I make sure Ironside gets a nice little Vermont sequel. On camera this time, since the officials apparently want to see you get beat so badly."
Isabel reared back, surprised by the venom in Wallace's hissing voice. Wallace took advantage of her surprise, flicking her hair over her shoulder and pushing past, striding toward Dorm A, even though Theodore had already disappeared inside.
"Going to have to do better than that."
Moses also brushed past her, turning to deliver her a challenging look.
"Should have slapped her as hard as you slapped me,"
he added, loud enough to capture the attention of most of the people around them. Isabel shook her head, trailing after him as he followed Wallace, who had knocked on the door and received no response. Moses pulled it open, completely ignoring Wallace as he slammed it again in her face. Isabel opened it again, but before she could step through, Wallace grabbed the back of her dress.
"You don't go inside Dorm A unless you're invited."
Wallace somehow made her voice saccharine sweet, like she was doing Isabel a favor as she dragged her back a step. The door fell closed. Isabel wrenched away.
"Don't touch me." "Why? You let everyone else touch you."
Wallace suddenly looked hurt, and Isabel suddenly itched to slap her, just like Moses suggested she should. There weren't even cameras watching the dorm entrance, so the act was all for nothing. Maybe Wallace spent so much time pretending it was hard to turn it off. Instead of reacting, Isabel flung open the door again and walked inside, pausing at the threshold to the living room, with Wallace holding open the door and peering after her. Reed and Gabriel were standing at the other end of the hallway, heads bent together as they looked at Gabriel's phone. Nico and Kian were lounging about the common room, game controllers in their laps. Both of them looked up at her, but Nico dismissed her almost instantly.
"Wallace wants to come in," Isabel announced, her tone wiped of emotion.
"Tell her to kindly fuck off,"
Nico muttered, eyes still on the TV screen. He had said it lowly enough that it was more like he was talking to himself rather than giving her an actual instruction, so she glanced to the other side of the hallway, to where Reed and Gabriel had looked up from the phone.
"No,"
Reed said.
"Theo is busy."
"Theo is busy,"
Isabel relayed to the girl still hovering in the doorway, who could hear Reed just fine.
"Sorry."
"Busy with what?"
Wallace pressed, managing a pout and a pleading blink of her pretty, glitter-outlined eyes.
"Busy with what?"
Isabel asked, glancing back to Reed, her fingers twitching into fists. Reed's lips twisted in a smirk.
"Go ask him yourself, Carter. He's in his room."
"I guess I'll go check,"
she muttered, barely even directing the words to Wallace. She slipped into Theodore's room after knocking softly on the door. He was sitting on his bed, kicking off his shoes and looking as annoyed as she felt.
"She's getting pushier,"
he growled, his eyes flashing dark as they dipped over her, his nose wrinkling.
"Did she seriously touch you?"
"Barely."
Isabel leaned back against the door, crossing her arms. Theodore had already lost his sweatshirt, his clothes tossed haphazardly around the room. He tore off his socks and then jumped up, pacing toward her,
the muscles in his chest and neck twitching and pulsing like he was seconds away from tackling her to the ground like Nico did in their training sessions. As soon as he reached her, he stopped, holding out an arm, his expression unhappy.
"Hug, and then we discuss what to do about the sleepover,"
he said. She swallowed.
"You took half your clothes off. Illy."
His voice was graveled, his expression lit by a troubled darkness.
"Hug."
She swallowed, stepping into him, her arms lifting hesitantly to wind around his waist. The rigidness in his posture softened, but he didn't hug her back. He brushed his cheek against the top of her head, and she fisted her hands against his muscled back to hide the sudden tremble in her fingers. His skin was molten, his heat digging into her muscles and making her sag against him with a thin whimper.
"You should stay,"
he whispered,
"for the bond, and because we won't actually let you leave."
"I can't hide from Eve in Dorm A forever," she muttered against his sternum, her lips brushing his skin. He tasted like sweat and sweetness, and she licked her lips to savor the combination. It was weirdly addicting. "She's back for good, isn't she?"
"That's what Mickey said,"
he grunted, his hands finally winding around her, brushing up and down her spine, smoothing over invisible wrinkles in her dress. His grip settled in the dip of her waist, dragging her tight against his body. And then he was quickly stepping away, shaking his arms out agitatedly.
"I'll go deal with Wallace. Want to lock yourself in my bathroom for a while?"
"Literally more than anything," she admitted. "Is that okay?"
"Steal whatever clothes you need and take as long as you want. I'll sort out a way for you to stay here tonight that won't cause any bullshit rumors, okay?"
"You're my hero," she grinned at him, marveling at the tinge of color that popped up in his cheeks before he yanked his sweatshirt back on, ignoring the rest of his clothes as he left the room. She swiped a t-shirt and pair of boxers from his wardrobe, ducking into his bathroom. She just stood there for a small, private moment, marveling over the beautiful, flowing design and the curved shower with the multiple sprays. Luxury had never really impressed her. It had always been her normal. But for 2 years now, she'd been sleeping on the floor and sharing a bathroom with a clique of Omegas who all hated her. It was strange how quickly her normal had become something else. She pulled off her clothes and turned the shower on full blast, stepping beneath the spray and running her fingers across the glittering tiled wall. She felt safe in there, which was stupid. She wasn't safe anywhere. Her eyes closed against the tears that threatened to spill over, blocking out the view of her scars.
"I wish I knew how to help,"
a soft voice whispered, forcing her head to jerk up. The apparition of her mother was back, leaning against the bathroom counter. Isabel quickly shut off the water, stepping out and wrapping a towel around herself. She opened and closed her mouth a few times before falling back against the wall opposite, simply staring into the familiar, beautiful eyes of Karen Carter.
"My baby girl is changing," her mother noted, a sad smile curving her lips. "I'm here, so you must be scared, but you're wearing it so calmly."
"Yeah, well," Isabel laughed humorlessly, "I've been practicing." Her short laugh died, and she sucked in a deep breath.
"Mom, what the heck are you?"
Karen looked down at herself, holding up the sleeve of her dressing gown.
"A remnant,"
she said, still with that gentle smile.
"I'm sorry, Illy. I can't be anything more."
Isabel swallowed, fighting back tears again.
"What happened to you, Mama?"
For a moment, the apparition wavered, Karen's face flinching so violently that it seemed she was about to wink out of existence. But then she settled, her expression smoothing out.
"What did you say, Illy?"
Isabel frowned, hugging her still damp arms around herself. I asked what happened. Her mother was shaking her head, pulling a finger to her lips.
He doesn't like people to upset us. You can't ask us that.
What? Who are you talking about?
Illy.
Karen's hands hovered over Isabel's shoulders, but they didn't feel like anything. Not even a change of temperature or a whisper of air.
I'm safe now. I'm okay. Just like all the other remnants.
But how are you here? How am I seeing you? There was a soft knock on the door behind Isabel, but she ignored it, imploring her mother, trying to lay her touch over the ghostly hands that covered her shoulders.
I'm not.
Karen smiled again, pointing to Isabel's forehead.
I'm here.
Isabel?
Killian was knocking louder, and after a second, he tried the handle, finding it unlocked. He propped the door open, and as soon as he saw her standing there, hugging herself, he stepped into the room and nudged the door closed behind him. Her mother disappeared.
What's wrong?
Killian's hands landed on her shoulders, and she almost sagged in relief at the tangible sensation, her eyes drifting shut as she swayed forward, butting her head against his chest.
Nothing,
she lied. He chuckled, tucking a few wet locks of hair behind her ears.
Clearly. Did you shower? I can still smell Oscar all over you.
Sort of. Not really. Are you offering to help again?
Killian forced out a laugh, just to dissipate some of the tension, but there was a tight constriction in his chest. She wasn't okay. She had been through a lot, and he had seen it all knock her down, peg by peg, so slowly that her decline was almost unnoticeable. But this Isabel wasn't the same Isabel from before the settlement tour. They took my phone, he murmured against the top of her head. I had a bit of a breakdown the night you told us about Aaron, and a few hours later, the officials arrived to remove me from the academy. I'm sorry. I wasn't there for you.
I don't need you to be there for me.
She sniffed against his chest, and the stubbornness in her voice was adorable. He eased her back again, examining the pink flush in her cheeks. It was hard to tell if she was embarrassed or feverish. You have 5 surrogates, he chided gently. Why have you been ignoring the others if you needed them so badly? She sniffed again, and the color flushed brighter.
I don't understand why they offered.
She sidestepped him, reaching into the shower to turn the water back on. His eyes dropped to her towel before he forced them back up again. Blindfold me, he blurted. She turned, a surprised sound somewhere between a gasp and a laugh falling out of those beautiful, lush lips, her eyes widening.
What?
I don't want to leave. You need to shower. We need to talk. The others are only going to leave us alone in here for so long, so blindfold me.
Killy.
She made that shocked, laughing sound again, almost a scoff.
I don't carry blindfolds around.
His heart warmed at the way she shortened his name, heat cracking into the massive gouges the last few weeks had left in the organ.
He rolled his eyes, flicking off the light instead. She giggled.
Okay, now I also can't see.
Good. He wasn't in a laughing mood, but he still liked the sound of hers. It was light, airy, clear as a bell, stunning. It astounded him that she could possibly sound so pure and innocent after everything that had been done to her.
Why good?
She was unwinding her towel, turning toward him to feel for the rack.
Fuck. Shit. If he suddenly left the room, he might have to explain to her that his alpha sight was a little better than hers.
Because I'm not getting in there with all my clothes on.
The words expelled from him on a sharp breath, a little too fast,
but she was too busy groping for the towel rack to notice. He fixed his attention to her face, refusing to look lower as he kicked off his shoes and removed all of his layers except his boxers. He slipped past her as she felt her way into the shower, ducking beneath the spray just to clear his head before he retreated to the tiled bench set into the alcove, sitting down and focusing on the spray that washed over his legs as Isabel stepped beneath the stream.
"I'm sorry," he murmured. "It's not enough, I know, but I..."
She spun around, her arms tucked over her chest, her hands cupping around her neck. She was covered enough for him to drag his eyes up, but he still got an eyeful of the swell of cleavage pressed between her arms and the way she was pouting in his direction. That thin gold chain was barely visible except the very top and bottom of it. He genuinely just didn't have the willpower to leave her side and desperately needed a moment to talk to her and clear the air. But now he just felt like a pervert, because that image was going to stick in his brain for a while. Or maybe he did orchestrate this. Now he was questioning everything.
"You didn't do anything wrong," she said, reaching for his shoulder.
He quickly looked away, back down to her legs as she stepped forward, her knuckles brushing his chest before feeling up to his shoulder and squeezing. He licked his lips, narrowing his eyes. "I know. I'm sorry anyway. I'm sorry all this shit lands on you. It isn't fair."
"I can handle it."
Her voice was sad, and the warmth her touch tunneled through his body suddenly cooled again. "Gabriel said you're stealing most of the side effects and all the shittiness of prolonging the bond," he said numbly. "The least we can do is make it easier. You should be using us."
"It's awkward,"
she suddenly exclaimed, releasing his shoulder and feeling around for the bottles of product.
"I mean, it isn't awkward when we're touching, but asking for it is awkward and weird, and I don't think I can."
"Did Theo help?" She went still, dropping the shampoo bottle. She had to crouch down to find it again.
"Don't know what you're talking about," she muttered, popping up again.
There was way too much movement going on, but he managed to keep his eyes on the floor, counting the tiny sapphire tiles to stay focused. "Isabel," he chuckled. She huffed.
"Yes, it helped."
"How much?"
"A lot. I felt warm for days."
He hummed deep in his throat, frustration eating away at him. He could offer, but he wasn't fucking stupid. Isabel thought he was gay, and that made him the only safe place for her to turn to in Dorm A. Part of him wanted to come clean and tell her that it wasn't all black and white, that he resented some machination of fate telling him that he was suddenly restricted to one person, one gender, but that it had nothing to do with her. She was stunning, no matter the situation. He had always thought so. But he was her only safe place, her only easy option for the physical contact she desperately needed. He couldn't cut her off from that. He stood and ducked out of the shower, snatching the boxers she had brought in from the counter and her bra from the floor, stalking back toward her. She squeaked when she felt him behind her, spinning her around. He knelt before her, gripping her thighs. "Step," he grunted, holding the boxers against her legs. She stepped into one of the legs, and then the other. He dragged them up her perfect calves, over her soft thighs, and he closed his eyes as he stood, settling them at her hips.
"You can see,"
she accused, narrowing her eyes on his chin. "Yep." He slipped one of her arms into the bra, and then the other, tugging it up against her chest. "I didn't look. Until now." He swallowed, realizing he was staring at her tits. Her nipples were covered, but the lace clung desperately to the pale swell of flesh as she twisted her arms behind her back to secure the garment. God damn. "What happened?" he asked, touching the knot between her breasts where the lace had been tied hastily together.
Sato, she clipped. Dude is unhinged. Nico licked my chain, so then apparently Sato had to lick my chain. You want to give it a go as well?
His mouth immediately pooled with saliva, and his cock twitched desperately. No, but Theo will, so don't tell him. He stepped out of the shower, giving the chain the barest brush of his knuckles before he yanked the door open enough to eye the alpha sitting on his bed, fiddling with his phone, a tight expression pinching his features.
Well?
Killian asked as Theodore's eyes widened, flicking over his wet chest and narrowing on his boxers before darting back up to his face. He tried to see past Killian's shoulder, his eyes darkening at the lack of light in the room.
The offer won't stay open forever, Killian grumbled.
They glared at each other for a moment, an understanding passing between them. Isabel needed someone to tend to the bond, and Killian wasn't going to blur those lines. Theodore got up and walked to the door of his room, flicking the lock. Isabel hugged her arms over her chest, wondering what the heck Killian was doing until he stepped back, and Theodore appeared in the lit doorway. His eyes swept over her huddled in the shower for the briefest moment before he stepped fully into the room, closing the door behind him. She said, as the room was swamped in darkness again. I didn't mean,
Doesn't have to mean anything, Illy.
Theodore's voice was close, but she had no idea what he was doing. A wide chest brushed against hers, but it was rich with Killian's scent, so she didn't jump.
Let him help, Killian suggested. I'll be right here. You're okay.
I'm still washing my hair, she said lamely. Theodore's chuckle was deep and close, but he only brushed past her, his bulky shadow settling somewhere near Killian's. It seemed like they were both sitting on the tiled bench cut into the shower alcove. She stood there, stupidly, not even feeling the water as it pounded against her back. Killian spoke up, his voice silky.
You said it was awkward to ask.
I've never had a boyfriend. She quickly cut across him. Never.
This isn't a date, baby.
There was a smirk in Killian's voice this time, and she stepped toward it, flinging out her hand in the hopes that she swatted somewhere near his chest. Fingers wrapped tightly around her wrist before she could make contact.
Shower,
Theodore suggested, close enough to convince her he was the one who had caught her, a soft, cajoling rumble in his voice as he released her.
You shower, we talk.
What do you want to talk about? She asked, robotically returning to the task of washing her hair.
I didn't plan what happened the night you got out of the hospital,
Theodore admitted.
But did it help?
Yes, she gritted.
Would you like me to do it again, Illy?
Do what? She lost her courage completely, deciding to play dumb. Both of the alphas chuckled.
Whatever you like,
Theodore said.
We can just cuddle, if you want. You could come here, sit on my lap, and I could hold you until our phones start blowing up, and maybe that would be enough.
Killian could have done that.
It came out as an accusation, and she hoped their alpha eyesight wasn't good enough to catch her sulky expression.
But you would never ask Killian to do more than that. Maybe a kiss would make you feel better?
Or I could tell Theo to fuck off and we can cuddle,
Killian offered huskily, before clearing his throat.
If that's really what you wanted. We just want to help, Illy.
Why now, suddenly? She frowned in their direction as she rinsed out the conditioner from her hair. Or at least she hoped she had shampooed and conditioned in the right order. They didn't answer immediately. She took a step toward them until she bumped against Theodore's knee. Does this have something to do with Eve turning up? You've been letting me deal with the bond my own way for weeks.
Maybe it does a little bit,
Theodore rumbled softly, his fingers trailing along the outside of her thigh.
I'm feeling very protective right now. But it might have a little more to do with the way you melted into Killian tonight. You're so good at hiding it. So we didn't realize until tonight.
Theodore suddenly dipped forward, one arm winding beneath her knees and knocking her legs out from under her, the other wrapping securely around her waist. He lifted her onto his lap, and Killian caught her legs, pulling them across his own lap, his hands shackling her ankles.
Tell us what happened with the chain.
Theodore drew her wet hair over her shoulder, his nose brushing along her temple. She relaxed against him, realizing he actually meant what he said about just letting her sit on his lap when he continued to stroke her hair, waiting for her to speak. She fumbled through a retelling of everything that had happened, beginning with the chain appearing. They listened quietly as she told them about Nico surging and how he had tasted her skin, reassuring himself that she was okay. She told them about Sophia's theories, about the big book of gods and the image of Stygian. She even told them everything that had happened in the garden shed with Sato, and about the gemstone that had appeared on her chain as she briefly borrowed Kaelin's power. Theodore kept his emotions tightly leashed the whole time, only a steady thrum of caution nudging her chest as he held her close, his hand passing up and down the length of her spine in hypnotizing patterns. When Killian began rubbing her calves, his touch graduating from light strokes to a deeper massage, she groaned and flopped her head to rest on Theodore's shoulder.
What else?
Theodore purred, his strokes lulling her half to sleep as she finished rambling. There was more. There was so much more. And she was sick of having no one to lean on, no one to help her.
Someone's been threatening me, she whispered against Theodore's sweet-tasting skin. They know about Mikkel's ability, and they know I entered my death phase on the rooftop. They have pictures and videos. They said if I told any of you, they would hand in all the evidence.
Somehow, neither of them so much as flinched in their calming strokes against her skin.
Good girl,
Theodore whispered, his lips moving over her temple. He tilted her chin up, and she was so